Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 46. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. The word of God for the people of God.
I knew that. That's a phrase that you've probably heard before, and we hear it in a multitude of ways. Sometimes when people say, "I knew that," it's just their way of saying that they were following along. You give them a piece of information and they go, "Yeah, I knew that." Sometimes when folk use that phrase, they're kind of using it like the Fonz, trying to cover up that they didn't know what was happening. And sometimes we use I know that as a way to defend our own intelligence, our own. This phrase, "I knew that," comes out in a couple different places. So Jesus is still having conversation with the various leaders of religious leaders of the day. He's still in the temple, and he's there in the temple between Saturday and Thursday night of Holy Week. Right, he's there between the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where he is lauded as the Messiah, the son of David, the one we've been waiting for. And when he ends up having his last meal with the disciples, sitting down with those who loved him, sitting down with those he knew would betray him. And in that time before he's arrested and crucified, that's where Jesus is. Now, this conversation that we're in the middle of started with the chief priests and the elders running into the room where Jesus is teaching and simply saying, "What makes you think you can do this? Who said you could do that?" And they had a long discussion, and following them were the Sadducees, and talking about how that there is no resurrection, which Jesus had promised that after his crucifixion he would be raised from the dead, and arguing with the Herodians about how do you pay taxes. Had this long discussion with all of them. And so after he's had these, frankly, confrontations one more time, a scribe comes to him and says, "Now tell us, what's the most important commandment? What's the greatest of all the commandments?" And Jesus gives them the standard answer. He gives them the standard answer to the question, what's the greatest of the commandments? He quotes from Deuteronomy 6. part of that great prayer, the Shema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. You shall love the Lord with all of your heart and soul and strength. It was a prayer that every good Jew prayed regularly, and particularly in the Pharisaical tradition, would pray every single day. It was part of the standard answer. What's the greatest commandment? That we love the Lord our God with all that we are. And then the second part is also part of the standard answer. This comes from Leviticus 19:18. You shall love the Lord you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These are the standard answers. And as Jesus gives the answer, he says that the first one is like the second one. The second one is like the first one. Now, the Greek word there that Jesus uses is homois, which simply means to be like, of the same kind, of like disposition, belonging equally, or in geometry, it means similar, talking about figures. So what Jesus is doing here is, this is not the Euclidean, if A equals B, then B equals C, then A has to equal C. No, this is even simpler than that. If A equals B, then B equals A. He says these two commandments, this greatest commandment, are two sides of the same coin. As we talked about in part one, is that if we're going to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength, with our mind, with all that we are, if we're going to love the Lord our God, we need to love our neighbor. And if we're going to love our neighbor, we have to love God with all that we are. They're two sides of the same coin. And so, not only does it mean that if you're gonna love God, you have to love your neighbor, it means that I got that backwards. All right, how do we fix that?
Just back it up and I'll edit
it. Okay. All right. So the first part of the answer is the standard answer. It comes from Deuteronomy 6, from that prayer that in Jewish tradition is known as the Shema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. That was part of the regular answer. That was one of those things that Jewish people knew and celebrated. It was a prayer that they used regularly. And then Jesus says the second part is like it. And this comes from Leviticus 19:18. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, this was the standard answer. This was not new in any way. And so as Jesus says this, the folks who have gathered around to grill him, to catch him, to call him out, give the, I knew that. It was the regular thing. Now, the word that Jesus uses here for like is homois. And that's a word that means of the same kind, of like disposition, belonging equally, or in geometry, it refers to similar. So as Jesus uses this word, he's saying these two things, well, it's not even like the Euclidean, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. No, it's even simpler than that. If A equals B, then B equals A. We talked about this in the first part, is that if you're really going to love your neighbor, then you have to love the Lord with all your soul and mind and strength. But Jesus' response also means that you can't love God if you don't love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love God if you don't love your neighbor as yourself. It's two sides of the same coin. Now, if we're going to take the standard answer that Jesus gave, we're going to put it into context. We quickly realize that loving your neighbor is more about action than emotion. Right, it's all well and good to talk about love your neighbor as yourself, but what on earth are we talking about? And so if we're going to answer that question, we want to go back to where does Jesus get his answer from, and how do we put that in context? Now, as Luke tells the story, Jesus, the scribe who asks the question, wants to make himself look good. He's in that kind of, I knew that. He wanted to make himself look good. He said, yeah, but so who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? And so Jesus redefines who neighbor is. But here in Matthew, Jesus doesn't redefine anything. He's really talking about the standard answer. The standard answer that any Jewish person in that era would give. So if we want to understand quickly clear that it's more about action than it is about emotion. Now, Leviticus is one of those parts of the Bible that just doesn't get a lot of love. There's a lot of people who find Leviticus challenging. Some would say threatening. Certainly not exciting. An Old Testament professor was sharing recently about a student who had said, I'd never fallen asleep on a treadmill before until I tried to be on the treadmill reading Leviticus. Leviticus is not narrative, it's not story, it's law, it's rules, it's regulation. But it doesn't mean that there isn't something really important in it. Because Leviticus is also this section of Leviticus where chapter 19 is found is part of the holiness code. And as often happens in that chunk of Leviticus, it starts out with God saying, you shall be holy because I am holy. And the Jewish thought around this was that God is holy and other, and God in creation had brought order to the universe that God had created, and that part of God's holiness is to be found in this order that God puts into creation. And so if we're going to live in a way that this God who is so holy can come and be part of us, then we need to live in a way that creates some of that same kind of order, that creates this senses of boundaries. These things are okay. These things are not okay. This is the way we do things. These things we just don't do, as a way of creating order. And so as we look at Leviticus 19, what we find there are directions of how we should live. Right? You should, and we get really familiar stuff. You should revere your mother and father. You should keep the Sabbath. Don't turn to idols. Don't cast images. And then it gets into other stuff. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of the field and gather the gleanings of the harvest. And more specifically, relating to the passage that we're looking at from Matthew, you shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, I don't want to turn this into a sermon on Leviticus, although that would be fruitful for us. But the point is that when the scriptures talk about what it means to be holy, they're talking about a specific kind of lifestyle. They're talking about living in a way that lays out particular boundaries. In other words, we cannot be holy unless we pay attention to how we treat our neighbors. We cannot be holy unless we pay attention to how we treat the poor, deal with the people around us, that we call one another out for the purpose of encouraging one another, for the purpose of correcting one another, but never in vengeance, never to cause harm, always to help create that sense of order in the midst of chaos and reflection of creation. This is the greatest commandment, that we can't love our neighbor if we don't love God. And we can't love God if we don't love our neighbor. They absolutely go together. Now, there's one last thing that Jesus says in this passage and in this kind of the end of his contention, his discussion, his conflict with the leaders of the Jewish people, the leaders of the temple, the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, the chief priests, the Herodians, all of them. And the last thing he gives is this sort of odd little question. So who is the Messiah? And their answer is, the son of David. I knew that. That's how this gospel starts. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the son of David. And yet Jesus turns it on its head and says, so if the Messiah is the son of David, then how does David in the Spirit say that the Messiah is his Lord? How does that work out? We're back to that Fonzie. Well, I knew that. And we don't want to make more of this than it is, because it's sort of first century dad joke. It's sort of the first century religious parallel to, why do we drive on parkways and park in driveways? And what Jesus is really trying to do here, I think, is to say, look, you think you know everything, but there is still mystery here that's bigger than what you know. There's still mystery here that's greater than you give credit for. There's still mystery that your pride won't let happen. This is how Jesus ends this conflict with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the rest of them. Don't be so sure that you know that you put yourself in a position where you're not willing to learn, where you're not willing to ask, where you're not willing to pursue truth, especially when you think you know it. I knew that. I knew that because the Spirit continues to lead us there. And I knew that whenever I think I have all the answers. And I knew that when we all take our searching of Scripture seriously, that as we dig into it, that we wouldn't let what we were already certain of keep us from hearing, but the Spirit of God would bring to us, that we wouldn't let it keep us from hearing the Word of God made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grace to you and peace. Amen.